chapter 1 this morning, the Word of God.
1 Peter chapter 1. You'll turn there with me. Praise God. I'm glad we have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. God's Word will stand. First Peter chapter 1 this morning. I love this passage of Scripture. I was sitting just the platform there thinking, well, we're blessed, you know. God's been good to us. Amen? God has been good to us. Thinking about how many folks are laying in a vessel bed somewhere. How many folks are laying up in the hospital. How many folks are laying at home hurting this morning or something else, or how many people's under persecution. They would to God that they could be at a place like this where the Spirit's at, amen, and the glory's at, and the Lord is at. We can sing praises to the Lord and open the Word of God and worship our wonderful Savior, amen. Hey, folks, we're blessed. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to start this morning in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom now, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us while so oftentimes we've been unlovely. Lord, this morning we acknowledge our need of you, and we know that without you we're nothing. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd anoint this place with your power, with your word, and with your Spirit. Lord, we need a touch from heaven today. I pray, God, that you would just reach down into the hearts of men and women. You'd roam and permeate the aisles, and that, Lord, more importantly, you'd penetrate the heart. And Lord, when we leave, we'd not only leave challenged, but God, help us to leave changed. And we'll thank you for what you do. Cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Use me as your willing vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text this morning, Peter is writing here to a group of believers that's been going through a very hard time. You know the story here. If you've been in church very long or studied the book of Peter, you understand that they're in great times of persecution here in the book of Peter. And many of them have been scattered and separated from one another. In fact, Peter describes this trial here in verse number 6 as a time, he says, of fiery, manifold temptation. But during these extremely difficult times, there's a truth. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's always a word from God in the middle of the most difficult, the most hard, the most horrendous times that you can ever imagine. There's always a truth and a word from God that can be a help to you and I. Amen. In the midst of this, there is a truth that the Lord wanted to give them through the Apostle Peter, that I believe also wants to give us this morning. And that truth is found in verse number 3. Notice it with me. The Bible says that he hath, watch this, begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope. A living hope. What a wonderful truth that is. What a help that is to our heart. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. The thing that the Holy Spirit of God as well as Peter wanted to remind these believers and wants to remind you and I this morning, those who had been separated, those who had physically been pulled away from one another, they had been scattered abroad, the Bible says. These believers whom having, it seems at least, to be standing alone, having to stay alone, having to serve God alone. And Peter wanted to remind them, as they felt like they were going it all by themselves and felt like they were treading through this world all alone, he wanted to remind them, and I believe wants to remind us this morning, that you and I have a lively, a living, a real life hope. Amen? We Christians should never live like we have no hope. We Christians should never listen, because the Bible says we've been begotten again unto a lively hope. It's been said that man can live 40 days without food. A man can live about 3 days without water. He can live about 8 minutes without air. But man can't live 1 second without hope. Now when you think about hope, what do you think of? Because what I want you to understand is the world has a very false ideology of what hope really is. They don't understand hope. They say things that whenever they talk about hope, they talk about something that really is not tied to anything tangible. It's not tied to anything real. Understand, they talk about this unsaved world, talks about hope in a superficial way. Somebody may say, well, I hope that Tennessee wins the national championship. Well, I do too, but let's just be honest, that's probably not going to happen, right? We know it's not going to happen this year because they're not even, the nation's not playing. But they say hope is something that's based on some vain imagination or some pie in the sky kind of thing. It's empty because it's superficial. You see, their hope is not tied to anything tangible. Their hope is not tied to anything real. The hope that this world has, please hear me this morning, it's empty and it's futile. And at best it's failing, but I want you to understand, that's not the hope that you and I have. That's not the hope that Peter's talking about here. Hope begins with a desire, but that desire in of itself is not hope. Oh, listen, I want you to understand, hope begins with a desire, and when that desire is given reason to expect that it will happen, then you have hope. If that desire gives reason to expect that something's going to work out all right, that's hope. If you have a reason to believe that, I want to say this morning that the reason that you and I have a lively hope is because it's based upon a living Savior. He's alive, and that's why we have hope. It's not tied to something superficial. It's not tied to something that's unreal. The Bible says in verse number 3, that we have been begotten again into lively hope, which is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, hallelujah, because I live, ye too shall live. Because I live, Christian, Jesus said, ye too shall live. Our high hope is tied to a foundation. Our hope is anchored on a solid rock. Our hope this morning is based upon a risen Savior. Not only do we have hope this morning, but we have a living hope because we have a living Savior. Aren't you glad about that? Make no mistake about it, Jesus is alive. The Bible tells us He's alive. Not only does the Bible tell us He's alive, but in Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says that after His resurrection, that Jesus Christ showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. I'm glad that a vacant cross and an empty tomb tells me that Christ was not a victim of the cross, but rather a victor over the cross, death, hell, and the grave. Oh, let me say this. I know that it's not what we'd call Easter time. I'd rather call it resurrection time. Amen. But I want you to understand that the effects of what took place on that Easter morning is still being felt every single day because of this lively hope. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ came out of that grave, I love the thought of this. It says there was a great earthquake. And who knows, every time that you have an earthquake, there's aftershocks. And honey, I'm telling you that now for some 2,000 years, we've been feeling the aftershocks of Jesus Christ coming out of that grave. You and I have hope this morning because Jesus come out of that grave. Our hope is not tied to some pie in the sky wish. Our hope is not based on some vain imagination with no foundation. Oh, but our hope rests in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's very much alive. And because He's alive and because He's not dead, praise God, this morning we have this living hope. We have a living hope, not a dead. Up from the grave He arose. Oh, the mighty triumph o'er His foes. Amen. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And if you ask me why I know He lives, how I know He lives within my heart. We have a living hope. Because He lives, you and I are possessors, and we have a possession this morning of a lively hope. And so there are many elements that is pointed out to us in our passage regarding this lively hope. There are many elements and things that it involves. One of the things that I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, that we have in having this lively hope. Number one, notice that we have possessions reserved. We have possessions reserved. Notice with me in your Bible in verse number 4, if you will. Bible says, watch this, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Watch what it says. Reserved in heaven for you. Somebody underline you. Somebody double underline. Somebody triple underline you. Amen. Hey, He says that it's been reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. I'm glad when I got saved. Not only am I going to miss hell, but I'm glad I gained a heavenly inheritance. The Bible describes best what Jesus did for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. He says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Oh, listen, I heard somebody talk about some time ago a bumper sticker they saw that said, shake hands with a poor boy that owns the world. Can I just say this? I'm really not interested in owning anything of this old world. Oh, but praise God, my Bible says that I do have an inheritance. It's in another world, and it is an eternal possession in the glory world. Oh, yes. I have something that'll never corrode, it'll never corrupt, it'll never tarnish, it'll never tear, it's without spot, it's without blemish, it will not falter, it will not fail, it'll never fade away. It's been reserved in heaven for me and for you. And praise God, I have a hope of a heavenly inheritance. But I wonder this morning where your hope lies. You see, the reason that I was talking with a couple preacher friends of mine yesterday and talking with them, and we're talking about just one of them has folks in their church that different people work in the different medical fields, some of them working in the fields of like counseling and psychology and some of these things. They said it's just an absolute epidemic what's going on. Not talking about COVID, but what's talking about all the other depression and all the other things going on is that people just looking out there and it seems like that there's no hope. Because they're looking at the wrong thing. Where's your hope at this morning? What are you hopeful about? What are you trusting in? Is your hope in the temporal? Or is your hope in the eternal? Because I want you to understand something. Every time that if it's in the temporal, every time it changes, and we know this world's shifting sand, then your hope changes. You lose hope. I'm glad our hope doesn't need to be tied to this old world or anything in it. It can be tied all to an all-faithful Savior. Amen. Listen, it's absolute insanity for us to place so much emphasis on the temporal things of this world. One day they'll be gone. One day they'll be corrupt and they'll fade away. Look at verse 24 tells us. Verse 24 of our text. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. All that man can conjure up in this world, just like grass, watch what it'll do. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. Doesn't matter what you have or how good it was made. If it's made of this old world and this old world, one day it's going to be gone. One day it's going to fade away. It will not last. All has been stained and corrupted by sin. That's why the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But instead, He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves do not break through or steal. And then He said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder this morning where your treasure is. I wonder this morning where your hope is. Is it in the temporal or is it in the eternal? The Lord's blessed us with a good house. I thank the Lord for it. I'm grateful for it. But my hopes are not in my house. You know what I'm constantly doing? I'm constantly fixing stuff. Constantly painting. Constantly having to repair something. Faucets or water heater, a dishwasher. I'm reminded of the words Jesus left us in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he said this, I go and prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad Jesus has prepared a place for me that'll never have to be fixed up or patched up. I'll never have to pay up for something that's broken or that's wrong. Hey, you can be encouraged this morning that the hope we have is a lively hope. It's a living hope. It's an eternal hope. It's a heavenly hope. Oh, yes, you and I have. We've been begotten again. Not to a dead hope, but to a lively hope. Would to God we'd understand all that took place when Jesus saved us. You see, it happened so fast. But it's going to take us an eternity to figure out all God did. Look at verse number 3. Hallelujah, watch this. Peter can't hold back as he's pinning the words on these pages. He can't hold back. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which watches according to His abundant mercy. And then He says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's like Peter, it's like he's sitting on the edge of his seat as he writes these words, because he understands just a little bit of all it entails of being saved, being a Christian. Well, it's easy for us to let the toils of life get us down, isn't it? It's easy to get in the muddy grubs. It's easy with the things we have to deal with from day to day, from this old fallen world, to begin to just feel yucky and begin to really just be depressed, to get to the point that we forget and cease to acknowledge God's goodness in our lives. There are four main kinds of blessings that you'll find in your Bible. The Bible speaks of four different types of blessings. There's, first of all, the common blessings. That's those that happen to just everybody. The Bible says this, it rains on the just and the unjust. Just the happening. Sometimes things just happen. You know, don't always everything try to put a name on it. Sometimes stuff just happens because it happens. It's still because God's good. Hey, listen, there's common blessings, and then there's conditional blessings. God says, you do this, I'll do that. And there's those that you got to meet a condition. And then there's those covenant blessings where God enters into a covenant with His people. You know, the Noahic covenant, the Adamic covenant, and all the covenants that God had entered into with His people. There's a covenant that God made there. But then the fourth kind of blessing, I like this, is just compassion. We serve a God of all grace, amen. Just simply, listen, it cannot be earned. I'm talking about the blessings that cannot be merited. It cannot be attained. It's just simply the grace and goodness of Almighty God. It's those things that God does just because He's good and just because He's God and just because He can. And I begin to think about some of these blessings that I have and that you have in being Christians and in being saved. By the way, I think we do good sometimes to stop and just remember the goodness of God. Amen? I think we do good sometimes to stop and count our many blessings and remember all God has done for us and ponder what great things that He's done for us. Listen, we have a lively, living hope. What is this inheritance that's reserved for us? I begin to think about the blessings that's described for us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 and 2. You know what it tells me? It tells me that I'm free from condemnation. Amen. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Don't you let somebody tell you that, well, you was saved, now you ain't saved. Hey, friend, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk with that Spirit, not after the flesh. Hey, that tells me in Romans 8, he tells me that I'm free from condemnation. Go a few verses down. In verse number 28, I begin to think about that I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I begin to think on about Romans 8:35. I cannot ever, ever, ever be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 tells me I've been established in Christ. I have been anointed and sealed. In Colossians 3:3 says that I'm hidden with Christ in God. In Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells me that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but instead of a power and love and of a sound mind. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 16 tells me that I can always find grace in my time of need. And in 1 John 5:8 tells me that I've been born again and the old devil can never touch me. What inheritance you and I have. Amen? Oh, do you understand all that took place in us and for us the moment we got saved? I begin to think about all that God did. Listen, it's going to take, think about this, and I told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. The Bible says this, you remember, the devil took Jesus up there when he was tempting Christ up on that exceeding mountain, it said, that pinnacle, and said it showed him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. Listen to me, young people, mom and dad alike. The devil can show you everything he has to offer in just a moment of time. Hallelujah. But it's going to take all of eternity for God to show us everything we got in salvation. Amen. Oh, yes. What do we get? The moment of salvation. We got a love that can never be dwarfed. We got a life that can never die. We got a righteousness that can never be distorted. We got a peace that can never be disturbed. A peace that can never be discouraged. And we got a rest that can never be disturbed. We got a light that can never be darkened. We got a purity that can never be defiled. We got a wisdom that can never, ever be doubted. We got a joy that can never be diminished. We got a hope that can never be disappointed. And a glory that can never be denied. I'm glad my name and my nature and my life and my legacy, my family and my future has all been altered. It's all been changed through an inheritance. God took away the hell I deserved, and he gave me a hope that's now been reserved in heaven for me. We've been begotten again unto a lively hope. I'm glad when I was in this predicament, I'm not in it anymore. Hallelujah. 7-year-old boy, I realized and recognized I was a sinner. I realized that there was a penalty for sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And even though my mama was saved, my daddy was saved, my family was saved, we went to church, none of that saved me. None of that would help me. There had to come a time in my life I recognized and realized that I had sinned against the holy God. The Bible says my sin separated me from God. The Bible tells us that God's of purer eyes in Habakkuk. It says he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. The Bible says this in Peter, his hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face far from me, he said. God loves you, but he can't look upon you because you're a sinner. And I had to bow my knee and bow my heart. So, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. And I know there's a penalty for sin. Word doesn't matter so much as what the heart. And I asked God to forgive my sin, come into my heart, and by faith trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to spend a lifetime and eons of time after that figuring out all I have, all I got at that split of a moment decision, this inheritance. Oh, yes. I'm glad I'm not in the same shape I was and born into sin, but I've been begotten again. Amen. It's nothing but the mercy and grace of Almighty God that he allowed me to be born one time, that he allowed me to ever be on this earth one time, that he thought on us one time, that he considered you and I even one time. All of us this morning have been born of Adam's seed. In other words, we've been born in the flesh. Therefore, we were born dead in trespasses and in sins. The Bible says, in the flesh there's no hope. In the flesh, there's no help. In the flesh, you'll never really find real true happiness and joy. But aren't you glad this morning that he didn't leave us that way? Amen? Aren't you glad that we don't have to stay that way, but he's been begotten us again unto a lively, living hope? He looked on us again. He thought on us again. Oh, I'm glad this morning that he looked past our fault and saw our need. He looked way further down than any of us could ever look up. And he begotten us again this time. Not to a dead hope. You were born of Adam's seed. You were born of your parents. You had no hope. You were, listen, you were dead in your trespasses and in sins. But the Bible says he begotten us again. This time unto a lively hope. Unto a living hope. Took away what we didn't deserve and gave us what we took away what we did deserve and gave us what we didn't deserve. Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Born of the flesh, dead with no hope. Born of the Spirit, unto a living hope. Aren't you glad this morning we've been begotten again? Aren't you glad this morning you've been born again? Hey, that's what he says. He says you must be born again, by the way. You must be born again. That rich man came. What can I do to have eternal life? I know you're a teacher. I know you're the man. He understood a lot of things. He said, but you must be born again. He's confused. Well, should I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. In other words, if you were in your mother's womb born again, you'd still be flesh. You got to be born from above. How do you do it? You ask God to forgive your sin and trust Him as your Savior. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Watch this. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you. How? He says, through the gospel. I have begotten you through the gospel. There's nothing that can take my inheritance away. You hear me this morning? Nothing that I can't lose it because of Satan. I can't lose it because of sin. It's not based on me or anything I've done, but it's based on Jesus and everything He's done. Amen? And He's done it all. Rest your hope on the eternal and not on the temporal. Matter of fact, He tells us here in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The Bible says this, that the Lord Jesus, right now, present tense, that He's upholding all things by the word of His power. Were it not for that, every one of us would drop off into hell right now. Hey, friend, you didn't do anything to get saved. You're not going to do anything to stay saved. We're kept by the power of Almighty God. Jude says it this way, unto Him who is able to present us faultless before God. First of all, it says unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before God. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a hard job because we're rotten sinners. But because we're covered by His blood, we're clothed with His righteousness, we're not going on our merit. We're not going to heaven and getting there on our record. We're getting there on the record of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way. He's begotten us again. I got to hurry, man. Notice the second thing quickly. A present. Not only have reserved possessions or possessions reserved, we have a present rejoicing. Look at it here, verse 5 and 6. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, verse 6, wherein ye greatly, watch this, ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Wherein, he says, ye greatly rejoice. We have, listen, we ought to have a present rejoicing. Hallelujah. I'm saved. There's hope. It's not as bad as you think it is. I promise you that if you're saved by the grace of God. We as Christians, no matter how dark it gets and how gloomy, we understand, listen, let's be honest. You're not going to get a lot of encouragement from the media today. Amen? Let's be honest. I mean, it's doom and gloom. You look out at the world, but listen, we need to understand we can rejoice even right now, it says, because our hope is not tied to anything in this world, but it's secured and reserved in another world. Therefore, we ought to rejoice. It's just, listen, everything's all right in my Father's house. So, amen. I'm glad He still owns all the cattle on the thousand hills, and He still owns all the hills too. Amen. Oh, yes. I don't understand. Listen, I understand. I understand why some people go around in the mully grubs. You don't find anything exciting or anything to be hopeful about or find any hope on CNN. You won't find any on MSNBC. You won't find any hope in our news media because honest truth is they have no hope to offer. But I never could understand how a blood-bought child of God, a born-again Christian, would ever choose to live their life that way. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Jesus my Savior. The Holy Ghost my Comforter. Heaven's my home. We have something to shout about. We have something to sing about. We have something to share with others. Do you want to know what the most profound and wonderful thing that Christianity offers to this dying, dreadful world? The most wonderful thing we have to offer them? It's hope. It's hope. Oh, they need hope. It's a message of hope. If we're ever going to share this hope, can I tell you this? We better be rejoicing in that hope ourselves. Watch this. I don't go to broke people and ask them for advice or help about money. And ain't nobody going to come to you and ask you for help in their condition and in their problem and in their hopelessness when you look like you ain't got no hope. I'm talking about we need to be people of hope. I refuse to live life without hope. I refuse to be a husband that lives with no hope. I refuse to be a father that lives life without hope. I understand you're raising up your children in a messed up world, but there's still a God, and He's seated on the throne. He's able. You do right. He's promised He'll do right. I refuse to be a pastor without hope. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a lot of good preacher friends, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of them that, man, I talk to them sometimes. I think, man, do we serve the same God? Because I'm going to be honest, they just didn't have any hope, and it's all doom and gloom. It's all about how bad things are, and it's all about the outlook is just so bleak. Hey, listen, friend, that's why as Christians we're to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to live like I'm on the winning side, amen, because I am on the winning side. I've read the back of the book, We Win, and I'm going to keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on singing, and I'm going to keep on rejoicing. Let's keep on keeping on for God until glory. Thank God for the book. Praise Him for the blood. Aren't you glad for that blessed hope? And we can rejoice, not later, but now in the present. You say, yeah, but you don't have any problems. That's what most people think, right? Preachers don't have any problems. Life's perfect. Everything's wonderful. Kids always act right. Wife always looks. She's the best part about it. No, I have any problem. Listen, every day of my life, I have troubles. Every day of my life, I deal with stuff. Every single day of my life, I have issues. Man that's born of woman, the Bible says, is a few days and full of trouble. We have. There have been times in our life we've had financial struggles just like you. We sometimes have physical struggles just like you. Sometimes all of us have these kinds of things that we just have to deal with just like you. But I'm going to choose to live life with hope. I'm going to choose to rejoice because I have a living hope. Listen, we cannot, we must not, we should not ever live without hope because He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Notice verse 7 and 8. Peter says, I know, I understand your trials. Watch this. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, that's the key, having faith. You can still rejoice if you have faith. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter says here, I understand your trials, but when you focus on the hope we have, it turns to rejoicing. When you believe and you focus on that and you have faith that we really have hope, our hope makes us rejoice and even in the present. Sometimes life's rough, let's just be honest. Sometimes life is hard and sometimes there's pain and suffering. But what Peter is saying, though this life, through this lively hope, there is a joy and there is a rejoicing that's greater than all our suffering, that's greater than all our pain, that's more powerful than anything else. And when our trials and testings that are temporal and our sadness and our sorrows are only but for a season are viewed in the light of what we have in Christ Jesus in the eternal, oh, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You and I can have and should have rejoicing right now in the present. I'll give you a third and final thing. And then we have a promised revelation. Look at verse number 5, starting there. Who are kept by the power of God, watch this, through faith unto salvation. Watch. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at verse number 9. Receiving the end
What's he talking about? Receiving the end of your faith. What does he mean? Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's coming a day where we won't need faith anymore. There's coming a day where our faith will be made sight. There's coming a day that we'll stand before the ones with the nail prints in his hands. There's coming a day where we'll see our lovely Savior face to face. Our faith will be made sight. Verse number 9 says that there is an end to our faith. That ends when we behold him face to face. When that day comes, we'll not be disappointed. But what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, who? The one who saved me by his amazing grace. And then when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory. When by his grace I shall look on his face. Y'all getting this? That will be glory. Be glory for me. Our faith will have an end. There is an end to this thing. It's not forever. But it'll not end with disappointment. It'll not end in despair. It will not end in hopelessness, but it'll end in fulfillment. It'll end in freedom. It's going to end in victory. Because it will end, as verse number 9 says, watch this, even the salvation of your souls. It'll end in salvation. It'll end in salvation. When our salvation is revealed, everything that we now hold in Christ as an inheritance, we have it there, it's reserved. In heaven for us, it'll be revealed to you and I. And we can't even imagine what a rejoicing that'll be then. You see, we've not yet experienced our full salvation. We're just as saved as we'll ever be, but we've not experienced our... But can I tell you this? The Lord spoke this wonderful world into existence in 6 literal days, and it's beautiful. You think about the different stones, the diamonds and the onyxes and the emeralds, and when you think about the millions of stars and planets we sit out on our deck sometimes, just look up, it's amazing. You look and all the stars and the planets and the Milky Ways and the galaxies, and when you think about the beautiful flowers of springtime and the snow in the winter, and you think about the oceans and all their beauty and splendor and the waterfalls as you go and look at some of those, when you consider the mountains and all their blue beauty, and we realize and recognize that God did that in 6 literal days. Yet 2,000 years ago, by his own testimony, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Oh, yes. It's been 2,000 years. He's been working on a place. That's why as close as we can get to describing what God has for us and the promise that will be revealed to us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has even entered into the heart of man. You haven't even thought. You can't even think. I can't even think of something so wonderful is what God has waiting for those of us who are saved and that have that lively hope. We have a reserved possession, a reason for rejoicing, and a promise revelation. But I'll say this. If there's one in here that's not saved this morning, is I just want to be honest with you. The only thing that's reserved for you is a lake of fire. God's done every single thing he could do to try and save you and keep you from going to a devil's hell. But he's not going to save you against your will. He's not going to force you to get saved. If you say no and you harden your heart, he'll respect your wishes. But he wants to save you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He paid the price for you. But you just got to take that step. Step out, recognize your sins. And what people say, if I come there and get saved, they'll shout the house down. We'll rejoice with you, praise God. I'll say this morning, you can receive salvation by just simply putting your faith in Christ. He must be the object of your faith, not membership, church membership, not baptism, not being a good person. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Then to the Christian, are you living, honestly, are you living with this lively hope? It ought to keep us rejoicing. It ought to keep us and move us to action while we stand for prayer. You come. Hey, don't wait. Praise God. God's been good to us. We ought to thank Him. There are Christians probably even listening this morning, whether by internet or maybe those of you are here, that you live in a world of doubt and fear. It fills your mind constantly. You're afraid. You're concerned. Even though you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has lied to you and fear has convinced you that your salvation is not secure, that you're unworthy and you don't have anything reserved. God would not forgive somebody like you with all your faults and all your failures. I want you to know you don't need to live a defeated Christian life, because your salvation and all your inheritance is kept by the power of God. Let's praise Him this morning. Let's thank Him while we sing.